Welcome to Bayou Business Download, a podcast from the Greater Houston Partnership, where we dive into the data and analytics influencing the region's economy. I'm your host, Brina Morales. Today is Monday, October 9th, and today we're talking about shifts Houston has experienced over the last decade in housing, demographics, and more. Partnership Chief Economist Patrick Jankowski joins us today to discuss the latest American Community Survey released by the U.S. Census Bureau and what it tells us about our region compared to the nation. Patrick, welcome.
Hi, Bruno. It's good to see you again. Well, see, the listeners don't realize that we're seeing each other. It's good to see you, and it's good to hear you again.
You too, Patrick. So let's start off with providing a little background on the American Community Survey.
American Community Survey, shorthand is also ACS, a survey that the Census Bureau started roughly 20 years ago. Back in the old ancient days, they used to have something called a long form to fill out. Census doesn't do that anymore. What they do is they survey a section of the U.S. households every month. They do it over 12 consecutive months, and then they take the data and they start to crunch the data, and then they release it in September. It's wonderful because in the old days, the old days of stone knives and bear skins, what you had to do is wait every 10 years to find out what was going on with the population. Now we know every year, and you can get that for all sorts of geographies. You can get it for the U.S., you can get it for states, you can get it for metropolitan areas, you can get it for cities, and in some cases, even down to block groups, smaller subsets and census tracts. And that gives us some idea about educational attainment, about age, about housing. You know, we're not going to talk about it on this podcast, but you can even find out how many homes in Houston have central heat and central air, or how many of them have internet connections, how many of them have a computer in the house. Just a wealth of information. And you may ask, why is this important? Well, the Fed controls an awful lot of money. Think of all the grants they give. And a lot of those grants are on a need basis. And so we need to know how many people in Houston are living in poverty, or how many people in New Orleans, or how many people in Atlanta. So when the Fed decides to allocate funds or make grants to different communities, they make it based on the need. So that's one reason for the Fed. And then us as economic developers, you know, our job is to try to recruit businesses and bring them to the region. One of the things that business always want to know is something about the educational attainment in Houston, or something about what the population looks like. And because we have this American Community Survey, the ACS, we can use it as a tool to recruit businesses to the region.
Okay, that's good to know. So what surprised you the most after you read it?
You know, Bruna, I'm a lifelong Houstonian. I've been around for a while. I mean, those of you who are listening on this who are old baseball fans, I'm old enough to have attended at least one game in Colt Stadium. So those of you that are longtime sports fans will get some idea of how old I am. So I've lived here all my life. You know, I work here. I buy groceries here. You know, I drive the freeways. I go to the symphony. I'm out and about. And I just kind of took it for granted. It isn't until you look at the data that you realize just how much Houston has changed just in the last 10 years. The amount of change which has gone underway is just amazing. And maybe you kind of get a sense for that. But now with the ACS, we have hard numbers. And it really amazed me just how much we have changed since 2012.
So what's the most important takeaway you would say?
You know, there are lots of different data sets, and I could talk about education, I could talk about healthcare, I could talk about age. Probably the most important takeaway is when you look at Houston today, if you look at our racial and our ethnic mix, Houston today is a mirror image of what the U.S. is going to look like in the year 2060. If you want to know what the rest of the nation is going to look like four decades from now, look at Houston and you see the nation. And we talk about all the changes which are going on in the population. They've already taken place in Houston. If we're concerned about how the nation's going to get along with all these changes, you need to look to Houston to see. We've already, I think we've figured it out. Or we're figuring it out. Houston is, in a way, it's a test bed for what the U.S. is going to look like 40 years from now. But it's definitely a mirror image of what we're going to look like.
And so let's dig into that a little deeper. Can you talk about the numbers and how, you know, the shifts we've seen in race and ethnicity over the last 10 years and what we look like now?
If you want to go back a little bit even further, there's not a single race or ethnic group has represented a majority of the population since the 90s. But we've seen some significant shifts. Over the last decade, the fastest growing population, the population group that's added the most residents, has been the Hispanic population, followed by the Black population, the Asian population. The white population actually shrunk over the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. There are fewer whites in Houston now than there were 12 years ago, definitely more than 20 or 30, fewer than 20 or 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it just, it's one of those things that makes Houston kind of a cool place to live. That's mm-hmm. the reason why we have such wonderful restaurants. That's the reason why we have so many art museums. That's the reason why it's just such a diverse and vibrant culture, because the different mixes of the races and ethnic groups bring all sorts of different perspectives and creativity and energy levels. And it's just one of the things that makes Houston a wonderful place.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, you know, our foreign-born population is also what makes our city so culturally vibrant. So can you talk a little bit about what we see there?
Oh, gosh, foreign-born population. That's actually one of my favorite topics to talk about. There are 1.7 million people that were born overseas, born abroad in Houston. My family is an example of that. My wife was born in the Soviet Union. And I say Soviet Union, not Russia. She came out of the Soviet Union. One in four Houstonians was born outside the U.S. There are only a few other metros. I think New York and Miami might have a little bit higher rate. But it's an example of the great diversity, and it's had significant impact on our growth. Mm-hmm. If you look at the roughly 1.2 million people that we've added in Houston over the last 10 years, a third of those have come from overseas.
All right, Patrick. So before we continue, I want to take a moment to say thank you to our Bayou Business Download sponsor, Fifth Third Bank, for making today's podcast possible. Learn more about Fifth Third Bank and the services they provide at 53.com. That's the numbers, 53.com. What were some of the things that bothered you?
When you look at the data, you look at it a couple of ways. You look at how Houston compares to other metros. You look at how Houston's changed over time. Or you simply look at what does Houston look like today? And there are actually two things that really bothered me. And one is there's a question where the American Community Survey asks about income, and they do the calculations for poverty. And in Houston, last year, almost 12% of all families lived in poverty in Houston. I mean, for a metropolitan area this rich, this much money flowing into it, it really is sad that 12% of all families in Houston live in poverty. Mm-hmm. Another example of something which bothers me is that healthcare. I'm blessed. I'm lucky. I work. I have a job, and I've got my healthcare associated with my employer. But there are a lot of people who, even if they are working, don't have healthcare. The level of insured in Houston is frighteningly low. Only 82% of Houston's population has healthcare. Mm. So that's like saying roughly one in every five people you meet on the street has no medical coverage. Mm. And that compares to 92% for the nation as a whole. Mm-hmm. If you don't have healthcare, then you're not seeing the doctor when you need to see them. You only go to see a doctor. You go to the emergency room when things are really bad and things have already progressed so long. We know that people without healthcare have shorter lifespans. So it really is sad that we have so few people, are such a small portion of the population. I shouldn't say small. I'm going to flip this and I'm going to say that there's such a large share of the population, roughly one in five, has no health coverage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Shifting to another section that piqued my interest when I read a glance this week. Can you talk about Houston's labor force participation rate and what that tells us about our economy?
For those of you who heard it referred to Glance, that's the newsletter that I just finished writing, and it's available on our website at houston.org. You can find out more additional details if you go there. But labor force participation rate, there's been a lot of talk about it in the news lately at the national level, how a lot of people who left the workforce during COVID haven't come back, or they're slowly coming back. Now, the labor force participation rate is that percentage of the population that's over 16, that they're either working or they're looking for work. Now, it's a sign of vibrancy in the economy. It's a sign of potential growth. Houston's labor force participation rate, it hit its low point during the pandemic, but it's back up to 66.6. And that might not seem like a high number, but for the U.S., it's 63.5. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it's a little bit of a problem using numbers on the air, but you know, we're a full 3 percentage points higher than the rest of the nation. And that's just a sign of just how strong the economy is here and how strong the job market is, because people are either working or they're looking for work. And it's also kind of reflection with that labor force participation rate going up. It's a sign of potential and pending growth. So that, mm-hmm. that made me feel pretty good.
That's good. I know you wanted to touch on another piece, working from home. What's it looking like in Houston?
Work from home. Yes. For those of you who are listening in, I'm working from home. Brina is not. The wonder of the internet, the wonder of Zoom. There's been a lot of push to get people back to the office. So far, that push hasn't been that successful. This is data for 2022. Mm-hmm. And if you look at 2022, right now, roughly 13% of Houstonians work from home. That's compared to 15.2% nationwide. And I said 13% working from home. 2 years ago, 2021, it was 15.5. Mm-hmm. So the percent working from home has only dropped about 2.5%. Now you're maybe saying, God, that still seems low, 13% mm-hmm. working from home. You need to consider Houston's different than a lot of other metropolitan areas. We have a lower percentage working from home because Houston's still a place where we make things, mm-hmm. where we're very big into manufacturing. You can't do manufacturing from home. Those jobs have to be done on site. So that's one reason why our work from home percentage is lower. Also, Houston is a place where we handle lots of goods. It's a logistics hub, transportation hub, lots of warehousing, lots of activity at the port, lots of activity at the airport. Those aren't the sort of jobs which can be done from home. Those have to be done on site. Mm-hmm. So yes, Houston's work from home percentage is a little bit below the rest of the U.S., but it reflects our economy, not reflect necessarily a change in attitudes towards work from home in Houston.
That's good. That's good information. All right, Patrick, last one. Did you find any quirky data that says anything about Houston?
Yeah, it's a shame this is a podcast, because then people could see me grinning so big. There's something I found kind of odd. You know, as an economist and a demographer, you look at the data and there's something there and you start to think about it. What does that number mean? What does that number mean? There's this concept of households, you know, the number of households. For one thing, we have roughly 2.7 million households, and you know, there are multiple mm-hmm. people in a household. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is that it breaks down as the number of married households and cohabitating households and so forth. But what I found really interesting is that of all the households out there, one in four households is headed by a single unmarried woman, and one in six is headed by a single unmarried man, mm-hmm. meaning there are more women living on their own than men living on their own. And I looked at part of it is, you know, you think, well, maybe it's a sign of just how much more independent women have become over the last 10 to 20 years. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid maybe it's a sign of the fact that guys just don't want to leave home. they want to stay somewhere where their mom will do their laundry and where dinner's on the table and they don't have to go to the grocery store, because there's a lot more women living on their own in Houston than there are men living on their own. And that's mm-hmm. kind of my quirky bit of data that I found.
A quirky little story to end on. All right, Patrick, is there anything else, any other takeaways that we're missing?
I do want to go back to how we started this podcast. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the social and demographic changes that have occurred in Houston, especially the demographic changes, the breakdown by race and ethnicity, if you look at Houston today, that's exactly the way the U.S. is going to look like in 40 years. We are a microcosm and we are a mirror of the U.S. 40 years hence.
All right, Patrick, that's a good way to end. Thanks for joining me today.
Brina, it's always fun. I'm sorry that you're in the office while I'm at home.
All right, Patrick, and that's it for this episode of Bayou Business Download. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. You can do so via your favorite podcasting platform or by visiting the news page at houston.org. There, you will also find links to recent data and news updates and learn how you can get more involved in the partnership's work to make a difference in Houston. A special thanks again to our sponsor, Fifth Third Bank, for helping make this podcast possible. And thanks again to you for listening to Bayou Business Download.